The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Listening to the one and only Bastards of Boston Baseball on our newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast. Red Sox have dropped two games in a row to the Toronto Blue Jays, now 13 games under 500. They have stranded 25 base runners in the first two games of this season, and we are 0-38 when trailing at any point in the game by three runs. The misery continues, ladies and gentlemen. Max Scherzer was the scheduled starter for the Blue Jays. He gets scratched. That was Jason Kelly in the war room said, "We're probably going to get shut out now that we're not facing Scherzer."
Yeah.
And that was the call of the night. Dougie, torrential downpour. What are your thoughts?
More of the same, but at the same time, even worse. Now it's just, we were on last night, and last night was bad, and today was even worse, it felt like. You know, even if it was the same, just having it back to back just makes it feel worse. And, you know, as Bennett pitched good, I think we said that last night, you know, Bennett can pitch great and it might not matter. And, you know, he pitched good. And the whole pitching staff pitched good, you know, three runs, mostly on just singles. And I think it was right, sac fly or singles and nothing, you know, no, nothing deep. And it's just nothing from the, less than nothing from the offense to not even, you know, they scored their third run in the eighth. Most of the game, it was 2-0 and just absolutely no life. They had the bases loaded at one point, nothing, you know, the guys in scoring position. I can just hear my grandfather screaming at the television about runners in scoring position. And it's just the same old every game, night in, night out. Just the worst offense we've ever seen.
And the pitching was fine.
Yep.
Jake Bennett pitched, it was either 5 1/3 or 5 2/3. Had a ton of swing and misses, at least 15 or 16. Struck out 5. Gave them a chance, but the offense couldn't do anything to get him a W. And, you know, this is like the scene towards the end of Home Alone when Marv and Harry are going through the house to try to get Kevin. Only it's not Marv and Harry. It's Breslow and Kennedy. And they've already, you know, slipped down the stairs, tripped on the micro machines, stepped on the ornaments.
Yep.
Caught their hair on fire. And I think they're at the point now where they're about to get hit by the paint buckets coming down the stairwell from the upstairs.
Yeah, Henry's the old man at the end with the shovel firing them.
You hope, right? I don't know. You would hope so. I think John Henry is Uncle Frank, though. You
know? Yeah.
Yeah, look at what you did, you little jerk. You know, and that's John Henry in that.
Yeah, the real villain.
Yeah. And I don't know. That's just kind of where we're at right now. And we'll get to tomorrow's matchup soon, but it's not looking good. So For anyone in the listening audience, the good news is everything looks fine tonight. I'm seeing the normal stuff. Last night we did record a show, but it never streamed. And I don't know what happened. This platform is kind of glitchy. Probably next week. I'm going to be away for a few days starting tomorrow. And I'll finally get a permanent platform going. I identified one, but I have to look it up again because I forgot what it was. But it's not StreamYard. It's an up-and-coming platform. And so we will move on to that. So my apologies for everyone missing out on that. I don't even have the stream chat up, but yes, we are busy in the chat tonight. Drew did not watch tonight. The World Cup is so much better. I think soccer is boring as hell, but it's better than the Red Sox.
The England-Croatia game was awesome today. It was really exciting.
Was it?
Yeah, it was back and forth. 2-2 at half. England came out, scored a quick third, and then put it away with a fourth at the end. It was a good game.
So England beat Croatia?
Yeah.
Sounds like it probably would have been an upset. But, and then Schmon Sequences in the YouTube chat stream says, "Oh, hey, thanks for showing up today, guys." And I just, the Bastards commit errors too, And we committed a pretty big one last night. But, here we are. Thomas Fitzpatrick, glad we're back. I don't really know where we go from here. I forget the matchup tomorrow. We'll get to it, but I remember it not looking overly pleasant. We're probably looking at a sweep here. Before, let's see, tomorrow is Thursday. Yeah, and then they have to fly. It's a getaway day, actually. So it's a one, keep saying tomorrow night, it's a 1:35 game, right? Now they think about it. And then they take off for Seattle. And that sounds like that could be a painful series.
Yeah.
Do we have Colorado next week? Is this that series? I don't
remember. Yeah, we're out that way.
I know they're on the schedule. We play them eventually.
Yeah.
Got it up here, but my screen's moving all around.
Yeah, Colorado after Seattle.
Oh, man.
And then back for the Yankees.
Colorado, yeah, that's a four-game set against the Yankees. And then we have the Nationals after. You think that's a cupcake match, but they're four games up above 500. I think in a wild card spot, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But that's going to be an interesting team as the deadline approaches. But we're just kind of on fire Breslow watch at the moment. He was up in the suite. Nesson panned to him, and the only thing notable about it was he had a bottle of water and a Diet Coke. So that was the takeaway from the scene. But if you're Craig Breslow, what do you do? Like, what do you do after the game? Do you just beeline it to your car and then go home? And I don't know. What's Breslow's world right now is what I'm wondering.
I mean, I would hope that it's a stressful one. I would hope because he feels, the hot seat. I would hope that he's not just content with this and thinks that everything's okay and goes home and sleeps well. I don't hope that happens. I hope he's feeling the pressure from the entire Red Sox fan base, from the entire, probably the dugout, other people in the organization. He has to feel the pressure right now, because every other time now we get swept, it's just more and more and more. It's just going to build and build and build. And every loss, it's going to build. But even when we're getting swept, that's really when, if we have back-to-back sweeps, this is, I think, what, 2 out of 3 sweeps this will be?
Because
we got swept before the Rangers, right?
Did we? Man.
I think we might have, but I can't remember. But, I mean, we're losing 2 out of 3 of every series at the so
at home. I read a lie. I stole the intro from a Rob Bradford tweet, so I'll give him credit now. Host of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, so I'll give him a plug even. But another nugget he had: the Red Sox are 2-9-1 at home in home series, rather. Two series wins, 9 series losses, and we must have split a 4-game set. Or actually, that could have been the rainout against the Yankees, or that might have been in Yankee Stadium. So nix that.
I mean, it's just Boston's on fire right now. Everyone, it's filled with people from Scotland, and it's going crazy. The Scotland people are going crazy throughout the city of Boston right now. It's just electric everywhere you go. Every bar is filled. They're marching to the Red Sox games. They're at the Red Sox games. They're cheering. And this team has just no life. You would think they have a little bit of buzz from this. The whole city's buzzing. I'm telling you, like, it's you see them everywhere right now. And they're having fun. The city's having a blast. And this team just feels none of it and gives no energy.
Isn't it kind of annoying that, you know, they're putting money in John Henry's pocket and they're not, you know, I don't know. We're not supposed to be happy at Fenway Park right now is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, when you're from Scotland and Scotland hasn't made the World Cup in 25 years and you're in Boston, you know, to celebrate it, you're going to go to the game and you're going to have a good time. And you're not going to care. You're not going to care.
They were belting out Sweet Caroline in one of the earlier games. I don't know if it was Monday or over the weekend, but
yeah. And if you go to a game now, I mean, that's what you're looking forward to, is going and partying with some Scots, not really caring about the game.
I feel like if the Irish were there, it would be the second coming of the revolution. I don't know. Yeah. I think it'd be a different vibe.
Scotland's pretty close.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, I don't really, it's just tough to know. I mean, they were supposedly saying we were aggressively searching for a right-handed bat.
Right.
Apparently mission failed there because it would have happened by now. Yeah. And we got other signals like the Red Sox could do it, but they might have to take on a bad contract, and that doesn't make sense because you got nothing but bad contracts right now. You've got Trevor Story, Masataki Yoshida. You've got a $68 million contract in Christian Campbell just sitting down in Worcester. Yep. Roman Anthony's making around 130 or so. So you've got a lot of dead money right now. So why would you take on more dead money to get one right-handed bat that doesn't get you into the postseason? It just doesn't make sense.
No, it does not. Lateral moves do nothing for you at this point. Even positive moves pretty much do nothing for you at this point, but.
Not really. I mean, you could acquire a guy that's got years of control and then.
Yeah.
And you got him for, it's not going to help this season, but you have him later on. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I've also seen reports where some of the bigger rock star writers don't believe Chapman, Contreras, and Sonny Gray are really going to net the haul that some people might expect. Like, none of them are going to be blockbuster trades where a team just overpays.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because to us, Wilson Contreras is a stud. I mean, he's on pace for like 37 home runs.
Yeah. He's mashing. He's great in the field. I mean, he'll help any he'll help any team. He's not going to hurt a team.
The rest of the league just may not value him like we do. I mean, we think he's awesome because he's all we have. So, you know, it's just the bar is set differently.
Yeah.
So that's
Chapman can definitely help a team. I mean, definitely.
I don't see why Chapman would not net a major haul.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I was on a show with Charlie either this past weekend or the previous one, and I mentioned how in 2016, the Yankees got Gleyber Torres, Clint Frazier, who was a highly touted prospect,
yeah. He
kind of flamed out later on, and perhaps one other player. I think it might have been that Ronald Torres guy who looked like he could be a solid utility guy. Don't quote me on that third piece, but I think we can get a similar package. And some people might say, well, Chapman's like way older now. You know, he's 10 years older. That's true, but he was only a rental back then and he's only a rental now. So why wouldn't it be a similar package? And he's got what, a 0.24 ERA, something insane.
Yeah, he's still, you know, at the top, if not the best in the league. And I can see not wanting to give up some young prospects for him if at his age, but he's still worth a lot to a team. He can still be worth a lot to a team that just needs that piece to get over the edge. He could definitely do that for a team. And maybe you don't want to give up your farm system for an old player, but there might be a player or two that maybe you can part ways with that has a few years of control that maybe is at towards the end of their contract or something.
He's got a 0.44 ERA, less than half a run. Only 14 saves, but we've been dog shit, and don't give him save. There was one period of time where he went 10 or 12 days without pitching because we were either losing or we were just not in a save situation for the few games that we did win. So it's like, you know, it's just been that kind of a season, but I don't know. I mean, besides Mason Miller, and perhaps there's one or two people better than Chapman, I would still take Chapman over all of them. Definitely. He's done it. He's won a ring, albeit with Chicago. And yeah, so I think Chapman should net you a pretty decent haul, and you should get at least a decent player back for Contreras and perhaps a decent player back for Sonny Gray. Both, I think Gray and Contreras have no trade clauses. Gray definitely does. I'm almost positive Wilson Contreras does as well. So they would have to waive those. So I don't know. Some people get comfortable and moving is annoying.
Yeah.
You know, it's a first world problem, but you'd think both players would want to go try to win a ring.
Yeah, you would be pretty surprised if you heard that they blocked a trade out of this team at this point. I mean, unless there's only a few teams that you could go down to. I mean, it's not much worse. So pretty much everyone is going to a better team. So, you know, blocking those trades, it'd be hard to believe. You know, I mean, you can see the frustration, especially for Chapman or Sonny. It's like, you know, Contreras, he's doing his thing, but those guys are doing their thing, and they're not getting the results that they deserve to be getting. So, you know, maybe they would feel better on a better team, you know, and Sonny could actually, you know, Sonny doesn't have a lot of good years left. He's at the end of his career for sure, you know, towards the end. And he's getting wasted away here, and he's wasting one of his best seasons in a while, you know, and it's going to mean nothing. So, you know, yeah, I mean, the grass must look greener right now on some other teams that he could really slot into and, you know, turn some of these really good pitching performances into wins instead of no decisions.
Especially if it's a stud rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you throw him in there. I mean,
low pressure. Yeah, yeah, he's got, yeah, you know, and especially if he actually has an offense. I mean, every starting pitcher for the Red Sox enters a game with the weight of the world on their shoulders.
Yeah. And they've all handled it great.
If they give up at least three runs and we don't have one up, that's an automatic loss based on the earlier stats. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. A couple teams that I'm just so fascinated to see what they do at the deadline. Number one, the Tampa Bay Rays. And number two, the Chicago White Sox. Suddenly, the White Sox are relevant. And I can pull up the standings here. Over the weekend, they were leading the AL Central based on win percentage. And the Guardians are losing Jose Ramirez for, I think, 6 to 8 weeks or something. Yeah, so the White Sox are presently, looks like they're technically tied with the Cleveland Guardians at the top of the AL Central. So what are they going to do now that they're unexpectedly in a race?
Yeah, I mean, that's I still don't think their organizations run very well, you know, so I never really have that much faith in the White Sox to begin with. You know, they're definitely trending up, though, and this is a big season for them to prove that they can, you know, kind of contend with the big boys and make moves and turn this young team into an actual contender.
Yeah, their GM is Chris Getz, and he's been basically tasked with rebuilding this team. And so I don't know much about him. I think he is an ex-player, ironically, because last night on the show that never got released, we were bashing player GMs like Breslow, like Buster Posey. And I'm trying to find his
work. Yeah, I don't know much about him, but I know their owner is, I mean, probably worse than John Henry.
Reinsdorf is so bad. Yeah.
It's the worst. And he owns the Bulls, too. And they're just, ever since Michael Jordan left, he hasn't put a dime into that team.
It's crazy because you'd think he would want to. Like, that was like the team of the city of Chicago, the second biggest city in the United States of America. And have a relevant team. I mean, the Cubs on and off have been good, and the White Sox did win a World Series, I guess, in 2005. But
yeah.
But yeah,
but that's kind of his MO. He kind of just, you know, he's good at winning one, and then just like the Bulls are the team that, you know, they added the play in onto the playoffs, so now like more teams make the playoffs, and the Bulls are legendary for just always being in the play in, never good enough to make the playoffs, never the worst team. He'll just sit in that zone for 20 years and just be happy with it.
Yeah, and Chris Getz has been the GM of the White Sox since 2023, so this has been his rebuild, and he probably took over for Rick Hahn, if I'm not mistaken. But, I don't know. And
they're trending up. They're definitely trending up.
Reinsdorf has kind of teased selling the team at times.
Man, he must be so old now.
He's close to 90.
Yeah.
I can pull him up too, but he's probably one of the oldest owners in Major League Baseball. Born in 1936, so he did turn 90 years old in February.
Wow.
Born in New York City, it says. Six-time NBA champion as an owner. He did own the White Sox in 2005.
Yep.
And so I guess that's good enough for him. He's just content to tell those stories.
Right.
And John Henry is content to.
Yeah, that might be what John Henry's turning into.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It does sound like he's stressed out, and he is.
Yes, I think so.
Weirdly following the team around, but not taking any action. I don't know what. You know, what could be so exciting for John Henry to watch this pathetic excuse for a baseball team that
so he has something paying. To talk about in the firing meeting.
I guess. I mean, hopefully. I don't know what they're waiting for. Sam Kennedy was on Nesson today and said that they would do whatever makes the most sense as they approach the deadline, basically. And that could be selling. Like, he acknowledged they could be sellers here pretty quick. And he said something like that would be excruciating because those weren't what the preseason expectations were. I'm mad that I didn't have the balls to say they would win 75 games. I copped out and said 82.
I mean, I think there is a little bit of, Breslow's the worst, deserves to be fired, but our players are underperformed all season. You know, Roman, Jaron, Meyer, Story got hurt, Navarez, Abreu, they've all underperformed. You know, just not – that's besides Breslow not putting him off the hook or anything like that, but they have. And on paper coming into the season, I don't think anyone thought, you know, a contender. But I think we all thought they were a fringe playoff team that was going to maybe be in the wild card or at least contend for the wild card. And that's just – the thing we were saying, though, is, well, they have no power. There's no power in this lineup. We all saw it coming in. And it was, I think, maybe even underestimated how bad that was going to hurt us. And so I honestly don't think we were crazy thinking they could win, you know, somewhere in the 80s at the beginning, because on paper, you know, they looked better than last year in some places. But then you realize missing the power is really a big hole in your team, and it really shows. And we can't score runs. And that was, you know, everyone's what everyone was afraid of coming into the season was, I don't know how we're going to score. We're not going to have much power. And it's just worse than any of us thought it would be. I mean, definitely. I mean, you know, I don't think anyone thought, you know, guys, basically the whole team is going to be hitting under 230 for most of the season so far. And it's just the bottom, you know, the worst team that we've seen. And I don't think we were really predicting that from this team.
Patrick Sandoval made a rehab start today. 3 innings pitched, 1 earned, 1 walk, 4 Ks. So we'll see. Okay. He probably gets moved at the deadline to, you know, get rid of some salary. But it's just so crazy how historically bad we are with something. Last season it was errors, so they addressed it. But, you know, this season it's. You know, lack of hitting, lack of scoring.
Yeah.
You know, there's been run prevention on both sides, you know, defense and offense. The whole we're essentially the Boston run prevention. But so it's interesting. One nugget that kind of dropped right as the game was getting started, Kyle Boddy, the owner of Driveline, who is a special assistant to Craig Breslow, left the organization a month ago. And I scoured some articles. I'm trying to get clarification. Like, is Driveline still present? Are other people from Driveline still handling our pitching program? And I can't find anything conclusive on that, whether they are or they aren't. But what was notable, and I was kind of cognizant of it at the time, Caleb Durbin, our third baseman, has been going to a clinic while the team's at home. I think he's been going to Worcester or something like that. Yeah. Waltham. Okay. Yeah. I don't know the name of the clinic, but it's a renowned clinic.
Yeah.
And so he's been working with them. So when I heard that, I'm like, well, what about Driveline? And turns out they were gone, or the owner was gone. So I don't know if they're waving the white flag on that now. Perhaps we'll get more clarity in the next, 24 to 48 hours. Actually, yeah. Tomorrow's Thursday. So I think Craig Breslow will be the one making the appearance on WEI on the Greg Hill Morning Show. Because if I'm not mistaken, he and Kennedy rotate every week on who goes on. So hopefully that will get brought up and we'll get some clarification there. But, you know, when the mastermind of Driveline is no longer with you, that's notable.
Yeah. I mean, it is a big deal. We're all probably happy about it because Driveline was a disaster and no one's been happy about it. Whether it's coming from Jim Rice or it's coming from other people inside the organization that say, these guys are just nerds looking at numbers, trying to tell professional athletes what to do. And it didn't work. It made people significantly worse. Our offense is the worst it's ever been. So I'm glad he's gone. I don't know if he just walked away, if they told him to leave, how that happened, but I wouldn't be surprised if they told him to just pack up his stuff and go.
I'd like to, it would be nice if one of the beat writers could just do a deep dive on it. Someone with access to the team, which players are the Driveline guys? I don't think Wilson Contreras is. I don't think he showed up to Boston at 34 years old and said, give me some Driveline. I don't know.
And he's the only one hitting home runs. So
exactly.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm curious as to whether or not Rafaela is a Driveline guy. He's hitting 289.
Yeah, he's playing well.
It seems like the faces of it have been Christian Campbell and Tristan Casas, who have struggled mightily. And Casas obviously can't stay healthy. I think he's we had an update last week where he's he's
taking swings and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. So why don't we just go ahead, get to the matchups here. I'm not usually left seat, which means hosting. So pardon me for not being on the ball. Oh, I don't like tomorrow's matchup already.
It's tough. Treya Savage and Sonny Gray.
Versus Sonny Gray. I'm going to be on a two-hour drive, and that will kind of coincide with the game. So I'll probably try to time it as so. But Treya Savage, I think, has been up and down. Oh, mostly down. Since he's returned, his last three starts, May 30th against the Orioles, five innings pitched, only two hits, one earned, seven walks. How do you only give up one earned with seven walks? He managed to do it. Four strikeouts, but again, only one earned. Then it gets really bad. Five and two-thirds against Baltimore again in his next start. They tuned him up for six earned, struck out five. Next start against the Yankees, not much better. Five innings, five earned runs, walked six. So perhaps this isn't an automatic win with Sonny Gray going against them.
Yeah, I actually like our chances to avoid the sweep. Sonny has been lights out. He really has. And I think, all we need to give him is like three, four runs, I think. And that should be enough for Sonny. The way he's been pitching, he's got an ERA right at three. And He's sitting at 8-1, and he's been great all year. And he's been great at home. I trust Sonny when he's on the mound. I don't trust our offense, but two back-to-back, one run, no runs. If we can just give him 3-4, I think that will be enough for Sonny. And so it sounds crazy, but I think we avoid the sweep and just continue to lose 2 out of 3.
It could happen. I'm confident. The one thing I am confident is that Sonny Gray will be solid. When you look at this Jays team this series, I mean, Vladimir's hitting pretty decent. Davis Schneider seems to own us for some reason.
Yeah.
And George Springer got us last night with a 2-run shot. But, I mean, that's been the bulk of the offense. So I don't know where it's all going to come from. And, you know, so I guess it just depends on your Savage. Yeah. If he's all over the place, if he's wild, if he doesn't have command of his pitches and he's giving free passes. I mean, we had what, 12 or 13 guys stranded tonight, like we said, yeah, in the intro. Yeah. So I guess anything can happen here, but it's a pretty deflating.
They get a few more hits tomorrow that drive some of those guys in, and hopefully that's all Sonny will need.
It could be, but if not, it's going to be a depressing cross-country flight. Yeah, to Seattle.
I mean, to no surprise of any of us, if they don't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody will be shocked, but
right.
We will wrap on that. Everybody have a good Thursday. Hopefully we didn't depress you too much with another show in this horrifically, historically bad Red Sox 2026. But we're going to stick it out. We're going to be here at the end of every game, barring technical issues, and different crew tomorrow night.